gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Oh Lord, how thankful now we are. We thank you for the scriptures that have been read, prayers that have been prayed, songs that have been sung, and instruments that have been played. Now, Father, our hearts is prepared and ready to hear from you. So speak to me and through me that your word will go forth. It will never return void because we know it will accomplish its purpose. Father, we will leave here better because we've heard from you. And we thank you. Our ears, our hearts, our minds are open, ready to hear your word. In Christ's name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen. Again, to the triune Godhead, to Reverend Slaughter, to Reverend Dearborn, to these deacons, deaconess, to these ministers of music, to this choir, let's give God a hand clap of praise for them. To my brother, Stan, my brother. Stan, yeah, in the grave, yeah. We met this brother this week. When he was doing the vaccination, he said he was coming. God, we thank you. God bless you, brother. In two passages of scripture, the gospel according to St. Matthew, verse 16. The gospel according to St. Matthew, verse 16. And the gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew, chapter 14, verse 16. John chapter 6, verse 5. The gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14 and verse 16. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give them to eat. The gospel of St. John chapter 6, verse 5. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? God bless you. I want to tag a text, he won't let you leave hungry. Thank you, Ursus. He won't let you leave hungry. The worst thing to do, when you go to a restaurant, your expectation is that when you leave, you will be physically satisfied. But it's a terrible thing that when your anticipation is on high and your stomach is growling, and you get your food and the reputation doesn't sit well with the food that was placed before you. You came hungry, spent your money, and left hungry. Now, for some of us, we won't handle that in a Christian manner. Amen. But it's a terrible thing to come to church hungry, starving for the word, and leave just as hungry as you came. But let me throw this piece of meat in the gumbo before you eat it. Some of the reason why you left hungry, it wasn't because of the food. It was because you rejected the food that was put on the table. I never forget that my mother one day had cooked from Dearborn some black-eyed peas. And I had made up in my mind, Ronnie, that I was not going to eat them. And I didn't come up in a house where if I didn't eat what was prepared, I had another option. I told my mom, I'm not eating that. I don't like the way they look. They look like little eyes staring back at me. And she said, baby, you don't have to go to bed. And so, Sister Oldham, as I was sitting there in the bed, smelling the aroma of the ham hocks and the black-eyed peas, and my stomach started wrapping around my backbone. And my stomach wasn't growling, it actually started talking. Negro, are you crazy? We are dying here. And to this day, I'll run you over for a plate of black-eyed peas. When it comes to the Word of God, we should develop a hunger that when we get here on Sunday morning, we're getting ready. Church is just like a divine restaurant. The ushers or the maitre d's, they come in and seat you. The deacons in the choir gives you appetizers. And the Word of God is the main course. In this text that is before us, it is a very familiar text. It is a text that is recorded in all four Gospels. Jesus had just ministered and just worked and just preached to so many people. And Matthew's account of the text in chapter 14 and verse 13, it gives the residents, it is said, it is in a desert place. It is in a place of discomfort. It is in a place of inconvenience. It is in a desert place. It is in a dry place. And one thing I've discovered about Christ, regardless of what your situation or your social standards, Christ can handle your situation. How many can testify and say, I've been in a dry place in my life? I've had areas in my life that my heart was heavy, that I couldn't even sleep at night. I tried Seagram's, and Seagram's couldn't handle it for me. I tried E&J, they couldn't handle it for me. I tried Crown and Coke, and it couldn't handle it for me. My place was still dry, but when I tried him, oh, y'all watch this, here's your praise cue. The place was still dry, but he brought me through it. How many can testify and say, he didn't take it away, he just brought me through it. They were in a dry place, according to Matthew 14 and 13. They were in the desert place, a place of inconvenience, a place of discomfort. And can I tell you, when you're in a desert place, resources is not equally acceptable to everybody. In 2021, we're in a desert place. We're in a place where the playing field is not level. We're in a desert place when civil rights are not protected. You're in a desert place where justice is blind but color conscious. You're in a desert, you know you're in a desert place that when you can go to sleep with one mass shooting and wake up to another mass shooting. We know we're in a desert place where we are marching, hold signs and say Black Lives Matter when a white cop take one of us out, and I'm with you, but we won't hold a sign when we kill each other. We're in a desert place, can I tell you? When Congress is trying to undermine your voting rights and won't put nothing on gun control, we're in a, oh, I wish I had somebody to testify. We're in a desert. When HBCUs are shut down because of lack of funding, but it makes millions of dollars for incarcerating our black and brown men, we are in a desert place. We are in a desert place. You're in a desert place. When a president will gas peaceful protesters so he can hold a Bible that he won't read and stand in front of a church he won't attend, but allow his racist supremacists to attack our nation capital and don't say nothing about it, we're in a desert place. Oh, we're in a desert place. We're in a desert place when you can scream and holler everywhere else. At the club, at the house party, when your favorite song is played, when you scratch one, you got three to the same number. When you hit the bell and everything lines up, you scream and holler. But when it comes to the Lord house, you say it don't take all of that to praise the Lord. No slot machine woke you up this morning. No slot machine healed your body. But you can praise in front of that. I wish I had somebody to testify at the name of Jesus. We are in a desert place. We are in a desert place when two people sit on the same pew, can't stand each other, but got nerves enough to lift their eyes to the heaven and say, I love the Lord. God looks back down at you and say, how can you love me whom you have not seen and hate your brother that's sitting right on side of you? We're in a desert place. They were in a desert place. And oh, when the people gathered, one of the synoptic gospels said it was 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And Jesus, as he looked at them, he asked Philip a question. After he having compassion on them, he says, what shall we buy, in verse 5, bread that these may eat? Philip looked around, 5,000 men, and all these children. See, in the country, we didn't say children. We say children. And these women, Lord, we don't have enough. Send them away. But Christ, one thing I love about him, he's not going to let you leave hungry. Now, let me literally talk to you. We are quick to meet somebody's spiritual needs. But God has called us also to reach somebody's physical need. You are a sad Christian if you run across somebody that is hungry and won't offer to feed them. Now, I know there's some scammers out there. If a man or woman say they're hungry and you tell them go in the store and pick what you want and they tell you that's all right, then you can walk away with a smile on your face. But my mother taught me through the word of God, don't ever leave somebody that's hungry. We sit here with our arrogant selves because we got Sunday dinner waiting on us. Some of you want me to rush through this sermon because you're not thinking about praise, you're thinking about that pot. But what about that individual who don't really know where their next meal is coming from? While we sat in our sealed houses during the ice storm, we were cold and saying, Lord, please help us. But what about that individual who didn't have a roof?
The sky was their roof and the winds were their four walls, but God somehow still took care of them. We have gotten so satisfied with ourselves that we don't even bless our food before we eat it. We do it in reverse. We don't thank God before we eat it, but then after we eat it, Lord, thank you. God bless his heart. The late Deacon David Smith and I were out giving communion, and we stopped by a gas station. And this is the God's honest truth. We seen a homeless man digging in the trash can. He found a plate lunch that had been eaten out of it. Hear me good. He grabbed the plate lunch, put it on his lap, and he thanked God for the food that has been prepared for the nourishment up here. Y'all didn't get what I'm saying. He digged in a garbage can. He found something that somebody had thrown away. Something that you and I would look over and call it disgusting, but he called it a blessing from God. You're still not hearing me. You're sitting there. Let me talk to my left side. Maybe y'all get it. What you call disgusting, he called it a blessing from God. And so one thing I want to tell you, if God put a peanut in your hand, you thank God for the provisions that have been made for you. The first thing in the text, the situation was overwhelming. Philip said, Lord, well, in verse 7, he said, 700 penny worth is not sufficient enough for them. 700 penny worth is 8 months' wages, is equivalent to $1,200 today. And he said, that is not enough to feed them that are so many. And Jesus said in verse 8 to prove to him, for he himself already knew what he was going to do. But he wanted to see that Philip have faith in him. Philip was looking at the situation and not the Savior. And so Jesus said, all right, but what do we have? But then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a little lad here. He has 5 barley loaves and just 2 sardines. Now, wait a minute. Philip says that 8 months of wages is not sufficient enough. But then one other disciple says, we have a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Not only we have a situation that's overwhelming, but secondly, we have a servant that's outstanding. Look at this little boy. He was willing to give up what he had to help somebody that was in need. Now, Philip says that 8 months of wages is not sufficient. Then Andrew says, we have a little boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Jesus is now going to prove to them that he can take what you think is insignificant and make it significant. Now, here is something in this text that many of us look over. Jesus' name is mentioned. He's in the credits. Philip's name is mentioned. He's in the credits. Andrew's name is mentioned. He's in the credits. But this little boy, name is never mentioned. But Jesus took the unmentioned and showed the world you don't have to have your name in lights to be a blessing to somebody else. And see, what's wrong with folk right now, you want to help me, but you want to tell everybody about it. You want to feed my family, but you want to put it on Facebook and Twitter. You want to bless me, but then you want to get up for the church. Let me tell you how I bless so-and-so. You need to, your left hand don't need to know what your right hand is doing. Matter of fact, if it's all for God's glory, then I don't need no glory myself. Here's something else in the text to make this little boy outstanding. In biblical times, if you see a lad out getting bread and food, is an indication that there is no father in the home. Either he has left or died. That leaves that the son's responsibility is now falls on him to take care of the mother and his siblings. So when he went out, the only thing that he can gather was 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He's on the way home to feed his mother and his little siblings. He comes across Christ, whose disciple says that 5,000 men, and not counting women and children, can't be taken care of, sent them home hungry. But here is a little boy, said, I don't have much, but all that I have, I'm willing to give to you if it'll help them out. Oh, y'all ain't get what I'm saying. My mother and my siblings are at home waiting on me to bring something to them to eat. But if I can help somebody as I pass along, then I know my living will not be in vain. Jesus, the men say that they can't be fed. Now, I don't know what you can do with this. It's only 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But there's something about you. I believe if I take it out of my hands and put it in your hands, you'll be able to handle anything that happens. You want to know why your little is still little? Because you're holding on to it. You want to know why your little is still little? You won't give it to nobody. But if you put your little in the hands of Jesus, that's why this boy's name is not mentioned. But he was willing to give up what he had. Watch something else. Jesus said, okay, for me to do this, make the men sit down. Uh-oh. Sisters, can I holler at y'all? Can I put the paint pen and put it, can I put the picture on the wall and let you see it? Especially for you single sisters in here. Let me holler at you. A real man follows instructions. Watch this. In biblical days, whatever the man would do, the women and the children will follow. That's why he didn't say make the men, women, and children sit down. He says make the men sit down. And when the men sit down, the wives sit down. And that's one that's, can I be real with you? Brother, when you got a wife that you can't keep quiet, something wrong. You can tell who's in control of the house. You can tell how they sit on the pew. If the man's sitting in the inside and the woman sitting on the outside, you know who run that house. Look at y'all trying to switch. It's too late now. Nah, it's too late. You done already told us it's too late. And if your wife not here, you're going to call the baby when we get to church next Sunday. You sit on the inside. Watch this. You got to learn to follow instructions. Man should follow instructions in 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Sisters, can I holler at you one more time and we going home? Be careful when you're dealing with a childish man. Because a childish man, children only think short term. Y'all dismissed it. I'll be with you, but it's just going to be short term. But a real man looks at the long haul. Y'all going to get it about 3 o'clock in the morning. He says, make the men sit down. Jesus said, before I can perform this, there must be some kind of order. And so the men sit down, and this little lad gives his lunch to Christ. And we are so quick to say, and he multiplied. But you miss something. Before he multiplied it, he blessed it. After he blessed it, then it multiplied. You miss your praise cue because there's something else you miss. One of the synoptic gospel says that he broke the bread. After he broke it, he blessed it, and then he gave it. Watch this. Sometime to really experience the true blessing of God, you've got to be broken. What you mean, Reverend? I don't understand that. I can never stand here and tell you that he's a healer if I've never been sick. I can never tell you that he can open doors if I've never had them all slammed in my face. I can never tell you he can pick you up if I've never been down. I can never tell you that he's a friend stick closer than a brother if I've never been lonely. I wish I had some broken people with me right now. I wish I had some people that society had counted you out. That society said that you will never amount to anything, but you kept on trusting and believing in God and look at you with your beautiful self. Tell me what God can do. If you're looking for a miracle, find the closest miracle mirror and look in it and say, here is a miracle staring right back at me. I was on my way to hell and society said I never mounted anything. I thought my skin was my sin, but my sin was my sin. He didn't just die for black people, he died for the whole world. He took this little boy's lunch. Here's something else you can praise God for. Watch this. Reason why this servant is outstanding, not because he was willing to give it up. Now watch this. He ignored their negative comments. Because one writer says what he has wasn't good enough for the situation. Somebody's saying what you have is not good enough. My praise is good enough. You can judge me. You can lie on me. You can laugh at me. But he still accepts my praise. And I wonder, is there anybody here that have come to Mount Zion this morning just to give him what you owe him? I didn't come here to look at you. I didn't come here for you to look at me. We just made it. Yeah, I'm speaking prophecy. We made it through a pandemic. Let me say it again. We made it. Somebody said, Reverend is still here, but see, I'm talking what God is getting ready to do. These masks will soon come off. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. You want to know why God got you wearing masks? Because you've been wearing masks all your life. You was pretending to be one thing, and God knew you were something else. You see, people can't recognize you with the mask until you pull it down. And see, you are just fooling folk like you're saved. But when this pandemic hit, everybody started loving the Lord. That's made this little boy outstanding. We have a situation that's overwhelming. We have a servant that's outstanding. But oh, but then finally, we have a Savior that's omnipotent. When you talk about his omnipotence, it means having unlimited power to do anything he wants to do. And so he takes this little boy's bread, he breaks it, he blesses it, and then he distributed it out. And the same disciple who say it couldn't be done saw it being done. Be careful when folk tell you.